Christmas, Merry Christmas. Now, welcome to Guess What? You're Wrong, the Holiday Edition. Now, this season, Big D is going to tackle some holiday horror favorites and some that may just be horrible. Enjoy the show while you can.
Now, before we get into this episode too far, I just got a little disclaimer here. First off, all audio used in this podcast is used under the protection of fair use. And as with all the movie reviews that I do here on Guess What? You're Wrong, we're going to spoil the hell out of every single thing we talk about. So, you have been warned.
Before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. Halloween. Now try and survive Christmas. Silent night. Deadly night.
Hello and welcome back to another stupendously Santa Claus slaying episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Now, today we are well into the holiday season and we are going to tackle for the holiday season a gem, spectacular gem from 1984 called Silent Night, Deadly Night. And before we get into this, let's get a brief synopsis. Little Billy witnesses his parents getting killed by Santa after being warned by a senile grandpa that Santa punishes those who are naughty. Now Billy's 18 and out of the orphanage, and he's just become Santa himself. And along with me on this awesome sleigh ride, it's Kelvin. How you doing, Kelvin?
Ho, ho, ho. Doing pretty good. This movie, man, it's one of those things that it's one of those one of the first slashers that I remember watching with you early on, like one of those horror movies that you're just like, you should watch this. And at the time, it really didn't stick in memory at all. Like, the only thing I remember is what happened to his parents and him becoming Santa and killing people. But watching it again, it's a pretty the story's good. I think the story itself, the idea of the trauma, I think it's a good movie. I just don't think the guy they chose to direct it was the choice.
Yeah, so we have a director, Charles E. Sellier.
Now, this guy, he's like a – I think this is his first directorial debut. I think he was a producer before this. He just did production. From what I understand.
Yeah, I see he has 4 director's credits.
Yeah, but is it after this?
Shit, I don't know.
If I had to guess, because he was known for producing The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams.
Yeah. Yeah, not much in the way of directorial.
Yeah, and I think the guys who were the writer of this movie and the guy who was getting it, one of the other producers of this movie, they wanted people like Sam Raimi, or Albert McNally, who, Sam Raimi.
Well, everybody knows Sam Raimi.
And then Albert McNally is the guy who directed the Purple Rain movie, which, you know, I think those would have been much better choices. Not that, again, I still think the movie's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Sam Raimi, Sam Raimi was still kind of young in his.
Still, man, could you imagine the Evil Dead style thrown onto this movie, it would make it watching it a lot more fun. Also, I think he would throw, just having him on set, I feel like the actors would be, I don't know, just more friendly, more affable in the movie. Because, like, I mean, not that you really hate, I hate most of the characters in this movie, to be honest. I think the only person I like is the one nun, the nice nun. I don't know her
Grandpa.
Name.
Grandpa.
No, Grandpa, no. Sister Margaret, there you go, that's her name.
What about Denise, played by Linnea Quigley?
Oh, I mean, she was cool to see for that 1 minute before she got stabbed with a deer.
Lots of booby action on Linnea Quigley in this one.
And when you told me she was the girl from Return of the Living Dead, I was very surprised, because she does not look like her at all. I mean, like, again, she's full of tattoos on her face and pink short hair, so
yeah,
she does not look like her.
Now we have, you know, the opening sequence in this movie here, we have a family, you know, driving down the road.
Main character, Billy yeah. Chapman. He's 5 at the time.
8. Well, it says we're here is 8.
No, so he's 5 at the beginning, and then we 8 see him when he's at the orphanage. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So he's 5 right now.
Yeah, and so that is, yeah, Jonathan Best played Billy at 5 years old. So they go to see Grandpa.
Okay, I will say, now we're here with Grandpa, right?
And now, Grandpa's supposed to have not talked for, I don't know how many years and years.
Yeah, he's catatonic.
Yeah.
And they leave for some reason. They're like, yeah, we're just going to leave. We take the baby. We're going to leave the kid here with Grandpa, and we're going to go talk with, I don't know why. Like, what's the kid going to say to anybody? But they go away, and Grandpa grabs Billy and basically tells him that to fear Santa Claus. He instills the fear of Santa Claus into him, telling him that if you're naughty, then he's going to punish you.
Yeah.
And
that's a big.
No, not the big. This is the reason Billy is who he is later on.
Well, I think this is the reason why he initially starts to question, because up to this point, Santa Claus only just brings him presents.
But that's what I'm saying. If Grandpa never gave him the idea that Santa punishes people, okay, later on in the movie, you know, what happens. His parents die by somebody dressed up like Santa.
Yeah.
But if he didn't have the idea in his head, then
That definitely carries on with him, because before he kills people, he tell him naughty.
Exactly. Naughty. So I personally like, he would have been traumatized, and I still don't think he would have liked Santa. Like, he wouldn't have been able to deal with that. But I don't think it would have caused him to kill people who were naughty, which is his whole thing.
Yeah, well, I think it's you can't have one without the other. So if he wouldn't have had Grandpa saying something and his parents would have gotten killed, he wouldn't have been who he was. And
it's also
if Grandpa would have been saying something and his parents didn't get killed, he would have been fine.
Well, it's also the thing, too. Grandpa is clearly mentally ill.
Yeah, Grandpa played by Will Hare.
I don't know who that is. He looked kind of familiar, but I don't know that name. So
yeah,
but
I don't care. But you know, we have that scene here where Santa's. Well, first off, we see that Santa, he holds up a grocery store or a convenience store.
Oh yeah,
and gets like $31.
I don't understand why anybody would rob a gas station. I mean, especially now, then maybe, but now you it makes no sense. You're gonna make like maybe $20.
Yeah, that's what he got. With $31, so yeah, but and then we see, you know, as the family's traveling back home. I'm guessing they don't really ever say from visiting Grandpa. There's a car pulled over on the side of the road, and there's a Santa Claus guy that's needing help. And so the parents are like, oh, Billy, you're going to get to see Santa Claus after all. And this is, I mean, this whole scene, I mean, it was 80s, you know, bad acting and everything.
It's still a horrifying idea.
It's effective because, you know, he pulls the dad out, kills his dad.
How does he even, did he just stab? Like, I can't remember how he
shot his dad, because he had the 1911, his gun. I think he shot his dad. But then he takes the mother out. When he takes the mother out, you know, little Billy takes off running and leaves his brother. I think his brother's name is Tommy, right? I think. Leaves his brother just crying in the car.
Ricky.
Okay, yeah, so Ricky. And the Santa Claus pulls the mother out. And, you know, we see the Santa Claus pulls his mother's shirt open. You know, boobies just everywhere.
He assaults her, basically.
And we think we think he's going to do something else, but he doesn't. He just kills her, slices her neck.
Yeah.
He just wanted to see some boobies, I guess. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. And the thing is, I said this on the movie, Billy, like, I know he's five. What is he going to do? But I don't know. I would imagine if I saw that happening to my mom, I would have to, like, run and be like, Mom, stop. Like, you know, I would have to do something. And, yeah, I'd die for it, but, you know, I'm a dumb kid.
Yeah, 5 years old. I don't know.
I guess he was scared. I mean, that's what happened. He was scared.
Hiding over in the what? Because of his grandfather already told.
Yeah. Yeah. As he was telling his parents that, too. He was like, you shouldn't say that about grandpa or whatever. That's naughty. Yeah. Or, yeah, said something. I can't remember what she was talking about. But
so now the parents were Ellie, Tara Buckman, and Jeff Hansen played Jim. Was the father, looks like. Okay. But then, you know, we go to
Billy. The funny thing is, too, before like they jump to the future, but Billy does just leave the baby in the car. He just runs away. He's like,
yeah, and the baby's – and I remember thinking when I saw this, the baby screaming and crying and thinking that Santa Claus was going to do something to the baby.
Yeah, I thought he was going to, like, snap its neck or something, just kill it. But, yeah,
I guess he has morals.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. It didn't really seem like it, but he was doing it to the mom, but I guess so.
Just no kids and no babies.
That's like, what's his face? Michael Myers, right? He doesn't kill, like, babies.
Doesn't he? I don't know.
You never really see him killing babies in the first one, and then in the 2018 one, he avoids a baby. So
2018.
Hey, that one's all right, okay?
Okay.
It gets worse after that, but that one's all right.
Yeah, I guess it's all right. And then we go to the orphanage.
3 years later.
Mother Superior, played by Lillian Chauvin. Now, she has that look. That you're just like
that bitch face.
Yeah, you just. I just don't want to. I don't want to deal with her. I just want to smack her.
Yeah, and she's also another. She's another reason why Billy is how he is as well. Because if she wasn't just on his and like making him celebrate Christmas, like why would you do that to this child?
Yeah, and at this point here, we have Danny Wagner playing Billy at the age of 8, and this you're right. I mean. He had this traumatic experience with Santa Claus. Why are you going to force him into celebrating this thing? I mean, this is, if anything should give you, a pass to get out of it.
Yeah.
That should be it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But she, I don't know why. She loves punishment. That's her thing.
Oh, yeah. She's Mother Superior.
Still, I don't know. I mean, she's a nun. I get it, but.
And, you know. Not a lot really happens at this
yeah, it right mostly here. Just shows him getting like him getting punished. But the biggest thing, the big thing is
the peephole.
Yeah, remember that I was scene? Gonna say that. But okay, so the peephole thing is basically he happens to look in through this like hole in the door or at the key. I think the
keyhole. Yeah, it was keyhole
through the door, and he sees two of the older kids at the orphanage. You know, getting it on.
Were the older kid? I thought it was like the janitor and one of the nuns.
Oh, maybe it was. I assumed it was like 17-year-old like orphans, but yeah, it might. Who knows? Who knows? But they he walks away like not. He doesn't tell anybody, right?
Well, no. Mother Superior walks up on him looking.
Oh, okay.
And then he takes off. And she asked him, "What did you see?" He's like, "Nothing." She said, "Good, because they were being naughty."
No. He says like. She says, "Do you know what you saw?" She says, "He says no."
Yeah,
because no, he doesn't understand what he saw.
And well, of course, he's 8 years old.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And she said, "Good, because you know what they were doing was naughty," and it ties right back into what his grandfather told him about what Santa Claus does to naughty people.
But then the other big thing that happens here is there's one of the I don't know who it is. It's the guy that happens later on in the movie. But it's the guy who dresses up like Santa who works there, like who?
Oh, yeah.
Who goes there every year?
Yep.
And Mother Superior forces him to sit on Santa's lap.
Yeah.
And I think he punches Santa.
Yeah.
Yeah, he punches Santa in the face. Yeah. He gives him a right cross.
For an 8 year old, he knocks Santa out. Man, it's like, wow.
He's got that Michael Myers demon strength, man.
So
he's got that killer strength.
Now this movie early on, I know that I was reading that. It had a lot of protests because people didn't want to see Santa Claus as a serial killer or a slave, whatever it was. And the companies that put it out, I think, who was it put it out initially? TriStar.
Yeah.
TriStar. They had, and it eventually backed away from it because of all the, they didn't want to be associated with stuff on it. And there wasn't, there was even people that were supposed to release it on DVD or on VHS home video. They eventually backed out too and stuff because of the release during Christmas time. And I think Coca-Cola was one of the part owners of the company, so they didn't want to directly affect Coca-Cola. Ah, it's a bunch of stupid shit.
That's like, it sounds like similar to whenever Kevin Smith's Dogma, he was making Dogma.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted to release it because it was all about the Catholic Church. And they're like, yeah, no, we're good.
Yeah. Now, the group of that formed the protest was called Citizens Against Movie Madness.
Oh, my God. A bunch of moms. 40-year-old moms.
How?
If I have to assume. Same thing with, like, the Comics Code Authority.
I'm thinking in the 80s.
40-year-old moms.
In the 80s, it was probably a bunch of church leaders and a bunch of moms.
Yeah.
Is what it would have been in the 80s. I mean, it's the same people that tried to get me from listening to Prince early on.
Or the Comics Code Authority, like I said. A bunch of 40-year-old moms being like, you can't have cocaine in your Spider-Man comics.
Other stuff, yeah. Now, this was, to protest the film, critic Gene Siskel read out loud names of the companies that own distributor TriStar Pictures. And, so they were really trying to get like this.
Siskel and Ebert Siskel?
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah, back when they were alive and everything. he yelled out, shame on you. Backlash. This is why a bunch of the companies that were owners of TriStar Pictures started backing out, with distribution and all that stuff. But the movie still made all kinds of money in the box office, its opening weekend. There was something I was reading in here that if it had been at the box office for another couple of weeks, it probably would have grossed well over $20 million estimate. But because it got pulled, it didn't.
Yeah, I think it only made like a couple million, right?
The budget was $1,000,065, and opening weekend in the U.S. made $1.4 million.
Okay, see, I have different the stats that I have are the budget was $750,000, and the box office was $2.5 million.
Well, yeah, the box office worldwide was $2.5 million.
Okay,
but just in U.S. and Canada, it was $1.4 million. Yeah, and that $1,000,065 was estimate. So,
yeah, it's also, it could be double with the advertising as well. So, they're including
crap in there. Then we go forward a bit. We have what's that nun's name that went?
Mother Margaret or Sister Margaret?
Sister Margaret.
Yeah.
Gilmer McCormick. She's out at a toy store trying to get him a job. What is that? What does the guy say? Because she's from the orphanage. So the guy's like, oh, well, we don't have any job openings for, this is a warehouse position. We need somebody that's.
Yeah.
And this is when they show Billy as an 18-year-old played by Robert Brian Wilson.
He's jacked and blonde, blue eyes.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, perfect. Actually, never mind. Yeah. That's,
come on in.
We'll take him.
And it was Mr. Sims played by Britt Leach. And this whole.
The store, like, just the characters in the store.
Yeah. And they I'm guaranteeing you they didn't pay for the rights to put some of this stuff in there, but it was toys.
Oh, everywhere. Yeah. Like, there was a bunch of Star Wars toys. Yeah. Like, it was stuff, Kermit, like, stuff that probably legally couldn't be there.
Yeah. Nowadays. Maybe back then they just didn't really care too much. But this whole scene here, when he first starts working, you're like, oh, what is this kind of a pleasant. He's doing good.
Yeah, it has like some like 70s like sitcom intro music playing while he's just like working. it's kind of funny because it's very out of place with the rest of the movie, but it's pretty funny.
But it's good. I mean, he's a hard worker. I mean, he's doing a good job. Obviously, there's the one guy there that's jealous of him.
Oh yeah, I don't know his name.
I don't even know his name either.
I don't know, he's a dickhead though. It's he is the guy that ends up trying to rape Pamela later on.
And he doesn't last long in the movie. I mean, you know, before we get up to that point here, you know, we know that Billy had words with this guy, you know, hey, you got to be doing this.
Same Andy, by the way.
And the guy was trying to tell him what to do. Randy Stumpf played Andy.
Yeah.
And Billy's just like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, I'm an orphan kid. You know, I'm just here to do a job.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. But you can always see Billy has these tics. I mean, there's something about him. You're just like, kid's not all there.
Yeah, but I mean, we know for sure because we know his backstory. But none of the other people there know. They don't realize. They just think he's a quiet kid.
What was the girl's name?
Pamela.
Who played her? Do you have that over there?
Her name was Tony Nero or Nero.
Nero, something like that. Nero. You know, there's the little side glances, you know, the little...
Yeah, no, she's definitely into him.
She's flirting, he's flirting, you know, as much as he can from being, you know, the broken kid that he is.
Yeah.
But there's definitely something there.
Yeah, I thought.
He even has dreams. There's a part where he has a dream.
Yeah, and it's...
Him and her.
Just like the people in the keyhole.
Yeah. and it's the exact same position.
Yeah, exactly.
And
everything. Same room. Yep, yeah.
And, well, while he's having that thought, though, Santa shows up and says naughty and stabs him. Actually, I mean, not just stabs him, like.
Yeah, rips him open.
Yeah.
Which is what he does to her, right? Doesn't he stab her stomach and go down?
Yeah, he does. And that's, we're in with these, the people at the toy store. And the one lady is like going to Mr. Sims and is like, hey, we got a problem. You know, we need an extra worker, and he's like, just call the temp agency, blah, 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 blah. But it turns out...
We need someone specific. We need somebody who can be a Santa.
Yeah, it's because Santa Claus was, I don't know, out skiing or skating or some shit.
Drunk, who knows?
Yeah, broke his ankle. And so Santa Claus is not going to show up at a toy store, where that's one of the big draws. Okay. So they have...
By the way, on Christmas Eve, too.
Yeah, on Christmas Eve. What a dick. And so they have this great, brilliant idea to go to Billy and ask Billy. And why didn't they go to the other guy? I mean, there was two other guys.
First, the lady was basically implying, hey, you, Mr. Sims, you do it.
Yeah.
And he was like, nah, I ain't going to do it. Let me go get the kid. And I don't know why he chose. I mean, he probably just didn't want to. He knows the other guy longer. He just was like, the kid can do it.
Yeah. So, you know, they.
If it was any other kid, sure, it'd be a fine job. But
and this is a big. I mean, they put him in a Santa Claus
costume,
and set him out there to deal with kids. And then, of course, at this time here, Sister Margaret's calling the warehouse. Is like, hey, you know, where's Billy? And what's the guy's name? Adam? Alan?
Andy.
Andy cocksucker.
Like, yeah, this guy's in a guy out here in a Santa costume. Ho ho ho!
He's got a new job. And Sister Margaret's like, oh shit,
that's not good. And she starts heading over there. It's really funny because we see Billy as Santa, and the kids are on his lap. And you see this one situation where this girl's on his lap. And I don't know if she wishes for anything, but he basically just says what his grandpa says, like, Santa.
She's off. She's obviously uncomfortable.
Yeah, no.
She doesn't want to be there.
Yes.
She's like trying to push
away. She looks scared. She looks horrified. And the parents around her are like, oh, my God, he's so good with the kids. He's
so good with the kids.
They're quiet, I guess, is what.
He really has a way to. But kids are scared.
And while she walks away from him, she's like.
Yeah, she's this is. All right. But he obviously makes it through this whole thing with the kids, obviously.
Yeah.
Because nothing happens and they don't bring anything up like that.
It's like he kills the kids or anything.
Yeah, so it's the end of the day. Mr. Sims locks up. And it's like, he said, what is it? It's party time.
Yeah, they start pulling out the drinks.
Somehow they had snacks.
Yeah, they had everything put aside, hidden away.
Underneath the counters and stuff. And they just start pulling out stuff. And it's like, we're going to have a Christmas party.
And they start handing Billy drinks, too.
Well, I'm thinking, it's Christmas Eve. Okay, for Christmas Eve, you just closed down a toy store. Are you going to want to hang out and party with the people you've been working with all friggin' day?
Yeah, I was like, don't you have families or girlfriends or anything? I guess not.
I don't remember, but was Linnea, because there's this guy in here, Tommy. I think it's the guy that was with Linnea that got killed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Were they also in the store? I can't remember.
No, if they,
were,
they have nothing to do with that.
Because there was, I can't remember that. There was the owner, mm-hmm. Mr. Sims. There was the one older woman with the brunette. I remember her name. Yeah. There was the
Andy, the dick.
Andy. It was Billy and the girl that. And then there was two other people there, though.
Yeah, but they like.
I guess that wasn't them. That wasn't Tommy and Denise.
I don't think so. No.
I don't know. But I noticed that when they started the party, I saw them there. But then they take off. That's why I thought that was them, because they took off, and the scene after this, it's with them.
Yeah, but I don't think it's them at all. I don't think they have anything to do with that.
I have to rewatch that.
I'm pretty sure he just goes into a neighboring house, they're there.
And Billy already has issues with Santa Claus.
Mm.
But what does he give him, some scotch or some
yep.
crappy whiskey? Here, drink it up. He tells him, stick with me, kid. I'm like, dude.
He keeps getting him drunk.
You know what you're doing.
He's drinking off in a corner, and he looks down in one of the aisles, and he sees Pamela and Andy start.
It wasn't in the aisle. Andy and Pamela went off into the warehouse area. They went through that door in the back.
No, but he sees them making out in the hallway first, and then they head back there. Mm. And that's what makes him decide to go back there, too, because he sees them.
And she's – okay, she's being assaulted. Right. He is trying to forcibly, he's trying to rape her.
Yeah. At first they are just making out, and then he wants to start taking it, and then she's like, no. And then,
yeah,
that's when he starts forcing himself on her. And he puts her on a table and is literally on her, like, you know, forcing himself on her.
Yeah.
And that's when Billy is seeing all this, and that's when he starts going red. That's when
naughty.
Yeah. That's naughty.
And now Billy. He does, in this instance, he does the right thing. He goes over there, he stops the guy, and then he takes it a little bit too far. He grabs the Christmas lights that were hanging up and kills.
He hangs him.
Billy's got this psycho power, man, because
I'm telling you, he's got the Michael Myers demon strength.
He puts that, you know, the light.
Just holds him up.
One-handed. Raises him up into the sky. It's like, damn. Kills him. Okay, good. He protected. What was her name?
Pamela.
Pamela.
Yeah.
I don't remember these names. He protects her, saves her from getting raped, all this stuff. You think she'd be kind of, oh, thank you.
Pamela.
Let me blow you.
Now, look. I understand. He did it like insanely, and I get it. It's like, wow, I just saw a man, literally one arm, hang a man. So it's pretty crazy. But just think logically, Pamela.
Yeah.
You just saw, man.
Public service announcement. If somebody saves you from being raped, and they happen to kill the guy with unhumanly like strength,
be like, oh my god, thank you.
Be grateful and just leave.
And thank you, bye.
Leave. Pamela is not grateful at all. She
instantly freaks out. She instantly calling him
crazy,
yeah,
psycho.
Psycho, insane. And I think he has a box cutter. He grabs a box cutter.
Yeah.
And he slices her open.
And those things are sharp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've cut myself.
Yeah. He holds her and cuts.
Which is how he got cut too in the dream.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
That's true. Exact same way.
I mean, like, similar, like, rib. Yeah. But it's similar.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Very similar. And then, Mr. Sims.
Yeah, he goes back there for drunk. He hears. I think he hears
when noise.
She dies. Yeah, he hears something, and yeah, he is plastered, man. He's gone. But while he was killing them, Mr. Sims and Miss Randall were out there just drunk singing.
Mrs. Randall, played by Nancy Borzynicht. Yeah, that sounds good. Mrs. Randall. Yeah, they were out there singing. You know. I don't see myself at any age of my life wanting to hang out
with my boss, my manager.
Hanging out, yeah, at the place I worked after closing. Now, there were times I did that in the past. But that was because there was a whole bunch of other people there, and we were up drinking free at the bar and all that stuff. But it's Christmas Eve, dude.
Yeah, this is a whole different situation. Like, because I've done that at my jobs too. But like, it's Christmas Eve. Like, why? And like, you seriously want to go drive in the snow back home while you're like, you want to deal with all that? No, why? Why would you? But
yeah, I mean, I guess we could nitpick certain things about it. If we nitpick too much about this movie, that's gonna be not a good movie. But
So Mr. Sims hears some noise and he goes towards the back, George or whatever. And I think he doesn't really notice anything until he bumps into Andy's body, right?
Yeah.
And he discovers Andy's body, and then that's when Billy kills him. I can't remember what he does exactly.
Did he have scissors? I don't remember how he killed him either. No, it was the hammer. He had the ball peen hammer.
Yes, and then, because then Miss Randall hears that, also goes back to go check on it, and sees the hammer in his head.
That's right.
And and then Miss Randall decides, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run up. And instead of, I don't know, at first she tries to open the door, and the door doesn't work. It's, by the way, these doors, it's full glass, all glass. Like, there's no, like, window section.
Now,
it's
glass. This is the 80s, so they didn't have that. They didn't have the unbreakable glass.
Yeah, stuff. No, it was just glass. And so she tries to open the door, and she's like, oh, crap, it's locked. And right next to her is, you know those separating barriers? They have that length of like a
fabric.
Exactly. You see it at movie theaters. There's one of those perfectly separating, like right
metal poles.
The glass. Right there. Instead of going for that and trying to break the glass open, she goes for the phone. And she tries to call 911.
Now, doesn't she tries to.
No, yes.
Later on, she tries to break the window with something.
Yes.
But it's not a metal.
So she this is one thing I'll give to her. She's wearing this hat this whole time, right? So she, Billy comes in, cuts the cord with his axe, and he's trying to chase her through the aisles, slowly, like looking, trying to look for her.
Yeah.
And he looks to his left and sees through the other aisle her hat, and it's like, oh, perfect.
Oh yeah.
And he goes around the corner, hits her with the axe, and she's right behind him, behind a bunch of boxes, knocks him over. And then that's when she does have something in her hand, and she runs towards the window now, finally, to try to break it open. Finally, now that she's getting chased, but he has a bow and arrow. For some reason, he just finds a bow and arrow. It's on the, you know.
That's a toy store. Why would you have?
Yeah, why would you sell
a real? I mean, I can see the toy bow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it shoots through her, so it's a real bow and arrow.
Yeah, it's a real thing. So I don't know why they would have that in a toy store, but they did. Maybe
I get Sports Authority or like, you know, stuff like that, but it's crazy.
But yeah, there was all kinds of things around her that she could use.
So many other ways
break that glass, lived,
but you know.
But yeah, it would be. Less of a movie if she had lived, I guess. Now, I know the version we were watching, we kept... We were watching it, and it was good quality. I mean, for an 80s movie that had been transferred over to Blu-ray. But there was these scenes that kept popping up.
And it was almost every single violent scene.
It was every kill scene, yeah. And you're just like, what the hell's going on? And I kept thinking, maybe, you know, I didn't know for sure. But then after reading some of this trivia here, there was a bunch of footage that had been edited out so that they could get an R rating.
Yeah.
And then when Scream Factory did the Blu-ray re-release, they took that footage and they put it back into the movie, and you can definitely tell.
Yeah.
I mean, the kill scenes are extended. They are a lot more graphic. I don't think it's anything.
No, but the quality of the actual, like,
film. I mean, the actual kills, I mean, it wasn't anything to give him an X rating or anything like that. I mean,
yeah, no, not at all.
Still, I mean, nowadays maybe it's.
Except the only thing I can think of is, probably the boobs is the only thing I can think.
Well,
but the 80s was different. I don't know.
Early on, I mean, it wasn't triple X. Triple X was the porn.
Yeah.
But if you were too graphic or too gory, they would give you an X rating, which means that you would not be able to be played in movie theaters. Now, a lot of big horror movies that came out during that time period were on that verge. They had to cut a bunch of stuff out so that they wouldn't get that X rating.
Yeah.
so that way they can get an R rating to be played in theaters.
I know that famously happened with My Bloody Valentine.
Oh yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but I want to watch the unrated cut, like the new one. It came out on the newest Blu-ray.
Yeah, I think it was this past Valentine's Day. I covered that with Dave from Over the Piedmont Triad podcast. Dave over at the Piedmont Triad, he is a soldier. Because I had this idea, which was a short-lived idea, but it was an idea of taking old movies. I think I had talked to you about this before too. Taking an old movie and a movie that had been remade, watching them both and then talking about them both.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
And I wanted to try it out. I mean, I don't even remember what I called it. It was some idea that I had.
Yeah.
We watched
the first My Bloody Valentine.
We covered it, hour long podcast. But then right after that, we went directly into the remake. So we had a podcast that was pretty much damn near 2 hours long, and he stuck through it all. And I was like, dude, I don't think I'm doing this anymore. But it was a good idea. It's just not something that's going to be able to be done anymore. But he was a soldier, and he's actually the one that I'm covering all the Evil Deads and the Ash vs. Evil Deads with.
I think the idea is solid. I just don't. I think it'd be smarter to do them a separate episode instead of doing it as one.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. Yeah. But Dave, check out Dave over at the Piedmont Triad podcast, where he talks about everything that is weird and wonky here in the Piedmont Triad area of North Carolina. There you go, Dave. Now you owe me one.
And now we're back with Sister Margaret seeing all this carnage at this toy store.
Yeah, she pops in and is like, oh.
Oh, crap.
I think she said, oh, shit.
Does she?
Yeah, well, in her head anyway.
Oh, she's a nun, so I figured not.
You'd be surprised what nuns get away with.
Yeah, no, here, yeah, true.
Whew, just stop drinking. So, yeah, she goes in there. She knows something is up. And this next scene... Do we have the scene next where she's getting a hold of the police and stuff?
No, that happens a little later. I think the first thing that happens is the Linnea Quigley scene.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, the next scene here, we have a couple down in a – you can tell this takes place up north because they have a basement, and it's a furnished basement. They use it as a game room, this people.
It's the man cave. It's got a poster of a white tiger and snow.
Yeah,
and a pool table.
Linnea Quigley is getting it on with Tommy, Leo. Getter. Linnea is babysitting her younger sister.
Yes.
Right when Tommy takes Linnea Quigley's top off and you see some Linnea boobies, the little sister starts walking down the stairs. Hey, you know, what's going on, Denise? Blah, blah, blah. And we have this whole scene with, you know, no, go back to bed. Go back to bed. Get away. Go back to bed. But then there's something at the door. Does he knock at the door?
I guess. And he also leaves something at the door too, right? Because she goes outside to pick something up, but I can't remember what.
Yeah, and she goes to the door completely topless. She opens the door.
Was it a cat?
She wasn't like...
Wasn't it a cat? Yeah. That's what it was. She was letting her cat in.
But she doesn't even like... She doesn't like, oh, crack the door to peek out.
No, she leaves.
She opens that door wide out, you know, just topless.
Just lets the cold, too. Like, wouldn't she be freezing?
I don't know. But. I'm like, well, what if people are walking by and anyway. It's Linnea Quigley. We don't care.
But she lets the cat in. And I guess Billy was already in the house, like, I assume, because he's already behind her.
Yeah. And this whole scene with her kill scene, this is one of those scenes that was extended as well, you know. When we see her, he picks her up and throws her on those deer antlers. And
the moment it like switches from her being on it, the quality just instantly goes.
Yeah, and then they do a close up of, and there's not excessive blood or anything.
Yeah, no.
It just shows, you know, antler horns coming out of her stomach.
It's not even like the big ones. It's like the tinier ones.
Yeah, on the bottom. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I'm especially for the 80s. Like this was like when. Nightmare on Elm Street and like Friday the 13th were big. Like, how was this the one that was like, nah, we can't have this?
I think the first weekend this was out, just because this was released the same time as Nightmare on Elm Street. I think that's what I was reading here.
The first one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I think the first weekend, it was actually beating Nightmare on Elm Street. But we can see who won out that battle, right?
Obviously. You
know, obviously, yeah. Freddy Krueger has lived on. And yeah,
Billy Chapman is no name in horror.
Billy has gone to direct to VHS. So, but yeah, this whole scene with Linnea and then her boyfriend.
Yeah, by the way, who didn't hear a word of her screaming, getting impaled. And yes, he has music on, but still.
I made the excuse. I was trying to cover up for the guy. You know?
No.
He's in the basement. He's got music playing. He's jamming. He's getting on. You're right, Kelvin.
You would hear that.
With that much noise. I mean, even
just the stomping of him, yeah, too. Because he's walking.
Even if you don't hear their screaming, you're going to hear.
Yes. Like,
you've been to my mom's house. Yeah, and we're in the basement. Yeah, people are walking around.
You hear that. Yeah.
You can. And anybody that's listening, just so you know, the reason why he's been to my mom's house is because he's my son.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, that whole scene with him being, I mean, I guess it adds to the movie, but it's kind of, now looking back at it, it's kind of a stupid.
No, it is really dumb. But, I mean, yeah, he's a dumb boyfriend, so whatever.
Yeah. When you're that age. And he's supposed to be playing, like, I guess, in a high school kid.
Yeah, I think they're high school kids, yeah.
And so when you're in high school, you're young, dumb, and full of cum.
He was about to not be, but
he was about to not be.
He got blue balls to death.
But he didn't have to deal with it for too long.
You know, it's funny, too, because he for sure ended up blue out there in the cold when he gets thrown out.
He went to the window, right?
Yep. So, yeah. Oh, and that's even the bad part, man. He gets, you know, he tries to fight with one of the fire pokers.
And he's actually doing a pretty good job at it for a minute, right?
He's trying. Oh, yeah. For a second, yes. But that's the problem. He looks away. And he thinks he got him, which is what you should never do that in a horror movie. You should never assume you got them. You just keep slamming.
Cutting heads off and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But he didn't do that. And he turned around. And that's when I guess he grabbed him and just chucked him out the window.
The glass. He broke him, threw him through the window.
And
we know that when you go through a window, glass breaks everywhere, but the glass broke in a huge chunk, went right through his abdomen.
He went through, and the moment he went through, it broke, and one chunk just like got stuck while he was jumping through, and it went,
impaled him almost.
Yeah, and went with him.
Stuck with him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Dude, that was kind of.
Yeah. When we saw it, I was like, okay, that's kind of gross. I was like, okay, that's kind of.
And that wasn't overly graphic either. I mean, there wasn't excessive amounts of blood or nothing.
No. It was just saw a giant piece of glass sticking out of him. I was like, ugh.
Yeah, well, but that's it for Denise and Tommy.
But we still have to deal with Cindy, little Cindy,
Cindy. So who?
After Billy's done,
Cindy who?
Cindy, just Cindy.
Cindy who? Wasn't her name from?
That is her name from Dr. Seuss or the Grinch. Grinch. Yeah, the Grinch. Cindy Hulu.
I don't know.
I'm gonna be honest. That's probably one of my least favorite Christmas movies.
I'm going to be honest here. Another episode coming up of Guess What You're Wrong is the mean one. The horror movie version of The Grinch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're going to be doing that here pretty soon.
Did The Grinch like fall out of copyright or something?
Probably. I don't know.
It's like apparently Mickey Mouse is doing that soon, too.
There's a lot of them that are coming out now.
Winnie the Pooh happened recently.
Yeah, that movie sucks so bad. I can't believe
I'm glad I didn't see it.
And they're making a part two of that.
Yeah, with Tigger. Yeah.
They're doing Peter Pan. They're doing a whole bunch of shit. The idea is solid. I'm all down for like a Winnie the Pooh
horror
movie.
It's execution.
This movie that we watched was so, there was nothing.
Yeah, no.
Listen to the episode.
Yeah.
We covered that. I don't even know how long ago when it first came out. Covered that with Derek from the Underrated Podcast.
So we got Cindy, little Cindy, and she comes up to Billy after she's done.
She calls him Santa.
Yeah, because,
he's in the Santa
house. Santa, yeah. So, but she comes up, and Billy goes down and asks if she's been naughty or nice. And she says she's been nice. And he asks her like two or three times, and she keeps confirming, like, no, I'm nice. And he's like, oh, okay, wow, I found an actual just sweet child. And what he decides to gift her is the box cutter that she killed Pamela with.
Yeah, I'm just like, here you go, kid.
And she just looks at it like
covered in blood.
Yes. And she just looks at it like,
okay,
this movie isn't, again, like I said, it's no masterpiece, but there was a little sad moment where whenever he walks out, she starts going, Denise, Denise, because she sees her on the wall. I'm like, oh, that's pretty sad.
Now, the website Mr. Skin, which if you're looking for celebrity nude scenes, is the place you go to. I'm not talking on experience. I'm just saying. Posted the top 10 horror series with the most female nude scenes. And the list included Witchcraft, 77th, Friday the 13th, number 49, Hellraiser, 24, Wrong Turn, number 17, Piranha, blah, 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 blah. Silent Night, Deadly Night was number 14 as well. It was tied with Hostel.
Damn.
The most nude scenes in a horror. Wow. That I did not know.
Wait, did it say what was number one? It didn't say what was number one?
No. You go to MrSkin.com and you'll find that.
That seems like too much work.
Yeah, put your VPN on before you do that because they'll be like tracking you.
Watch me look at Mr. Skin.
The film was also banned in Ontario and Alberta, Canada in 87 due to its content. Man, banning a movie. That's...
And of all things...
You saw the same movie I saw.
Yeah, like, none of this... Like, the only thing I can think of is just, like, all the rape in it. All the sexual... Because, like, violent ones...
There was only one.
The mom, too.
At the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, this is the only thing I can think that is, like not good content. Because, like, otherwise, like, people get murdered, but it's really nothing terrible to look at.
The group that was organizing these protests, Citizens Against Mad or Movie Madness.
Yeah, the moms, yeah.
It was specifically towards Santa Claus being a murderer. What I read here, it had nothing to do with anything else but Santa Claus being a murderer.
That's kind of funny in retrospect, because now we have a movie literally called Violent Night where Santa just runs around killing hitmen.
Well, that is different. That's a different type of movie. And we actually covered that last Christmas.
Really?
Yeah, I covered that last Christmas.
It's not even a horror movie.
Well, it's not, but it was anticipated, you know.
That was a fun movie, I will say.
It was. And, you know.
I was surprised going in and watch it.
To see Santa Claus in that kind of an aspect,
yeah,
where he's depressed, he's down.
He's also, his origins, he used to be like a Viking lord killer, berserker man.
Well, the origins of Santa Claus do come from,
that's what I'm saying,
from Scandinavian, yeah, Norse mythology.
That's the thing, too, is there's so many different versions of Santa origins, too. Like, there's Saint Nick, there's all that different stuff. So, like, pretty cool seeing that one.
It was good. And this film also shares no connection with Black Christmas from 1974, despite bearing a similar title, Set the Night, Evil Night. Yeah. The Black Christmas. Did I cover that last year?
I feel like you maybe did.
There's like four versions of Black Christmas out there. I know that.
The newest one that came in like 2018 or something like that. And then they have like...
Maybe that's something I was wanting to cover and I never did. But... their tagline was Silent Night, Evil Night. The original title of this movie was called Sleigh Ride.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or something like that.
I think it was, hold on, it was... it was Sleigh Ride.
Yeah, and then
By Sleigh Ride Productions.
Spectacular.
So, that's funny.
Where were we at in this movie?
I don't even remember. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, okay. Linnea and Denise.
Yes. So we did, Sydney got the box cutter.
Yeah.
And Billy left. And then we get this weird snippet. It's one of the only other kills we see. I think one of the last kills we see in this movie. Honestly, it's a pretty short film. It's like an hour 30, right?
Yeah.
Hour 20.
It's an hour. But you also got to take into account if it's hour 19. So you also got to take into account probably about anywhere from 8 to 10 minutes
The credits. Yeah. So it is a pretty short movie.
Yeah. It's an hour. We'll say just over an hour. Wow. That is kind of short.
Yeah. But we get this little snippet where it's these two kids sledding.
Oh my god! And I forgot about that scene.
Yeah, it's these two kids sledding, and these two bully kids come out of nowhere.
Bullies, I hate them.
And these kids have terrible comebacks throughout these bullies. They just call them stupid or something. I can't remember what, but it was terrible. I was like, you need better game, kids. You need to work up your roasts. But the bullies, you know, knock the kids off their sleds, and they take sleds downhill. And one of the kids is like, oh, it's kind of dark down there. Are you sure we should go down there? He's like, no, I'm going to do it. And he goes down. And the other one goes to go catch up with him, and his head just gets rolled off by Billy's axe. And it's funny because the kid sees him coming down. He's like, yeah. And he notices he doesn't have a head. He's like, oh, no. And the head's also rolling next to the sled.
Wow. Yeah. I completely forgot about that scene.
This had one great effect. One thing I thought was awesome, where the kid, his head rolls next to his body, and you see.
Oh yeah, you asked me about that.
Yeah, when we're watching. You can tell clearly it's the kid buried under snow, but it is cool because it looks like it's generally his head under, yeah, like cut off
next to this.
Is his body,
dummy body? Yeah,
it was cool. That was a cool effect. I like how they did that.
Well, then you know. Sister Mark, is that Sister Margaret?
Yep. Mm-hmm. The morning after that, it's because this is all happening all night. By the way, it's Christmas Eve night, and now it's Christmas morning. We're on Christmas morning.
She's running to the police station.
Yeah, we're dealing with
these fucking police. Dude. How
this
incompetent, inept.
This Officer Barnes, first he's like the chief police looking guy. He gave me bad Dr. Loomis energy. Like, he was ineffective at being a Dr. Loomis.
He gave me some incompetence. You know, I'm like, there's a reason I'm like, I call the police the teeth of the state. You know, it's, and movies like this kind of reinforce my view on the police.
Yeah.
Being the teeth of the state.
Yes.
Incompetence. I mean, these people, now granted, they probably have no idea how to handle something like this. They've never experienced, you know, a mass murderer dressed as Santa Claus, fine. But these guys,
yeah,
fucking stupid.
The first call they get, they run into this house where Santa's supposedly in this house, and it's Santa going up to this little girl, and they come in.
Well, they see him from the outside,
yes,
on the ladder.
Yeah. And they run in, guns pointed at Santa and this little girl, and the little girl notices the dad and goes, Daddy? And he has to take off the beard, and he looks at the cops like, are you guys, you just ruined this little girl's dreams.
You ruined her Christmas for the rest of her life.
Yes. And he just sits down and looks at the cops, and the cops put their guns away, and I was like, dude, are you, like, it's time to sue, but that's besides the point.
That's one example of incompetence.
Okay, look, yes. Okay, look, yes. This dad might have a case. You know who really has a case? Father O'Brien, okay? So,
hold on. Before we go to Father O'Brien, if I was that woman, the wife, and the police just charged in, I would be like, motherfuckers, you just barged into my house. I'm going to get my gun.
Yeah, but this is a different family, clearly.
It's also built for movies. Father O'Brien, Kelvin, tell me about Father O'Brien and his sordid past.
So what we see is a Santa figure walking up towards the orphanage. And Sister Margaret tells the police that, hey, this kid is probably going to go back to the orphanage. That's where he is. A lot of trauma there with the Mother Superior. So watch out. There's going to be a Santa guy going there. And this cop sees Santa Claus walking towards the orphanage. And instead of, I don't know, walking up towards him to grab him or yelling at him or doing.
Now, don't forget, we have a bunch of kids that are running towards Santa.
Yes, as well. Yes.
Santa! And
they're right in front of the
orphans.
Yeah. Yes.
A bunch of orphans. And they know that Santa brings them good presents during Christmas and stuff.
And so.
Oh, my goodness.
So instead of doing anything else, the cop just grabs his gun and starts opening fire. And I think he shoots him like three times in the chest. And
he shoots him in the back, I think.
Yes. And I thought it was
because he's
you're right. He's walking towards the kids. Yes. And I thought,
oh my gosh,
I thought he shot him in the heart. We see him later. He is pulled into an ambulance. But here's the real kicker. We all think this is going to be Billy. And it turns out, no, this is Father O'Brien.
Boy, and the cop says, I yelled at him to stop.
And yes, I yelled at him to stop, and he wouldn't listen. And Sister Margaret goes, oh, no, Father O'Brien's dead. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in a movie. It's like, oh, no, of course you wouldn't be able to tell because he can't hear you.
But now we have a whole other slew of kids that have been traumatized.
They just saw Santa got shot by a cop. And you know what's the most insane thing? The cop doesn't get like sent back to the station. He's still there.
He is ordered to watch over the orphanage still.
I'll be like, you need to turn in your gun, and you literally just almost killed a man.
Yeah, we got to investigate this a little bit further. You know,
insane.
No, but yeah. So we have a whole slew of kids that are traumatized
by this idiot cop.
Well, yeah. So they're basically not going to trust the police now.
Mm-hmm.
Santa didn't do anything wrong. So we're back to Mother Superior.
Oh, no. First, we're back to I think we do see Mother Superior like talking with the kids, like getting the sing and stuff, like trying to get them out of their you know, sad mood or whatever. Mm-hmm. But while that's happening, we get a Barnes who isn't sent to the station, but still investigating the orphanage.
This guy.
And he looks in the back. And this is one of the actual really cool shot moments in the movie. You see him walking in the back of the orphanage.
And I think I mentioned this to you.
No, yeah, you did. Yeah.
This is one of the I'm not much to point at artistic viewpoints or scenes in a movie. You know, if I'm watching a movie, I want to see the movie.
Yeah.
But this scene here I saw, I was like, oh, wow. That's a good-looking scene. And I don't even remember the officer's name. Officer Dumbfuck.
And he's walking. It's a wide shot. You see him walking behind the orphanage. And up close and post to the left of the shot is this door of – it looks like, a basement area or like a – I don't know.
Cellar.
Cellar, yeah. And the cellar door is closed when that shot is happening. And then,
you know, it's like bumping against the wind.
Oh, I thought
it's like hitting.
I thought it was closed, and then it started bumping in the wind, and that's what causes him to head towards it because the guy opened it.
That might have been.
I it's one of the two because we noticed that it's either closed or it's bumping because whenever he heads down that way, turns around.
But out of the whole movie here, this is the most beautiful scene.
Yeah. Literally.
Just that 2 second scene.
That the one. No. I also like the turnaround because you know, it's closed or it's bumping open kind of a little bit. But then when he turns around, it's completely open. And he's like, oh, what the. And so he walks down there. It's a cool setup.
Yeah,
and you know, so he goes down there and he investigates the whole cellar, finds nothing. And when he goes back up the stairs, he obviously can't look to his left or right, gets an axe right to the chest, right out the door.
And it's because Billy.
Yeah, Billy's right there.
I keep wanting to say Billy Loomis.
Yeah, so do I. I also.
Not Billy Loomis. This is not Scream.
Good movie. Have you done any of the Screams?
No.
You should do the Scream series. Those are.
Do you know, little side tangent here. And I don't even remember what year it was. I moved to Florida to go to school at the University of Florida, which was about two or three years after there was a serial killer that had gone through there, Danny Rawlings.
In Florida?
Yeah. Oh, in Gainesville.
Damn.
And you know, he was really graphic. I mean, I don't know where this came from, but, you know, Danny Rawlings he decapitated some women and put it in an apartment. So that way, when the roommate walked in, that's the first thing they saw. It was gory and graphic. I remember moving there a few years later, people were all still scared about it. But Wes Craven from Scream,
mm-hmm.
based it supposedly off of that whole murdering. I mean, it was loosely based off of that whole murdering spree in Gainesville.
Well, I know on Scream 1, I know, there was an issue where they wanted to originally film the town they wanted to originally film at, they couldn't because there had recently been a murder there. And so they didn't want it to be associated with the, you know, a movie being made. So they had to go to somewhere else
to film it. We'll do Scream later on and we'll dive into that.
I'm definitely on for Scream 1. That's one of my favorite horror movies, that first one.
Well, if you're in for Scream 1, we're going to do the whole series.
Yeah, okay, yeah. We got Saw 2. There's so many.
Yeah, there's so many. And FYI, coming up in probably March-ish, we're going to start the Saw series.
Yep, I've never seen those. I've seen the first one, but barely. And I've seen clips of a lot of the, you know, gross scenes, but that's about it.
Saw kind of freaked me out.
Yeah, that's the reason. Like, that's the reason I it's just gore porn.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, and I think later on let's not get into.
Let's not get into Saw. Yeah, we'll get there eventually.
Back to Silent Night, Deadly Night with Billy.
We're pretty much hit at the end. So Billy decides to finally go confront Mother Superior. Yes.
Mother Superior tells the police, don't worry, nobody's getting in here if I don't want them in here. She locks the doors and everything, and she has all the kids sitting around.
She doesn't warn the kids about Santa. Yeah. She doesn't warn the kids at all.
They're like singing Jingle Bells or some shit like that. Yeah.
And I don't think we mentioned this. I really don't think we did at all. But in the orphanage, Ricky, who is the baby, Billy's younger brother at the beginning scene, he is living in this orphanage as well. And he's still a kid.
Yeah.
Billy's 18. He's still a child. And he sees Billy on the outside at the door. And he's like, oh, Billy. So he goes to go let him in. And that's who lets him in.
Now, if Billy's 18 now, when it originally happened, when his parents died,
he'd be
five. So
the kid should technically be 13.
13-ish, yeah. Yes.
13, 12. Which the kid kind of, I mean, he looks a little younger to me, but I'll take it, sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, for a movie.
Yeah, it's a movie, so who cares?
But he lets him in, and right as he unlocks the door, Mother Superior.
By the way, Mother Superior's in a wheelchair too. She's gotten old, so she can't stand no more. She's in a wheelchair.
You know, I don't wanna talk badly about the Catholic Church for whatever they've done.
Well, okay, I'm sorry.
But Mother Superior and
you know the Catholic Church has done a lot of bad, right? Like, priests and all.
We don't want to talk about the Catholic Church as a whole. The people below them have. The Catholic Church as a whole, that's a whole another podcast. But, the priests and everything, you know, Mother Superior, the nuns, it seems like there's always a Mother Superior that is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, in like any movie that I see that has to do with nuns, the Mother Superior is always the worst.
Always terrible.
Yeah. So.
And maybe she's supposed to be. I don't know. Maybe that's
the role. I have no clue.
Maybe during the Catholic Church, you have to be a pain in the ass in order to be a Mother Superior. I don't know. But she's in a wheelchair now. Where she turns and sees the door open, and she's like, no. But he comes in. That's what I keep thinking about. These kids, they are, and there's little kids around them. While Billy walks in,
most of them looking scared, but there's a couple that like are strangely excited. They're like,
yeah. I think I pointed out while we're watching. I'm like, there's one kid in the background. It's just like,
now
he's got this weird smile on his face, but he's like excited, and he's like,
and it's funny because he's one of the older looking ones too. So I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But Mother Superior basically just starts belittling him. I can't remember what she says, but she starts making fun of his like belief in Santa and like all that.
And this, another public service announcement. If you're face to face in this situation with a serial killer,
axe in hand,
be as nice as you can be.
Be as calm and nice as you can.
Apologize for whatever, even if you don't think you did anything wrong. That's the
thing, too. Like, most of the time, a serial killer is a mentally ill person. So you treat them like a mentally ill person. Like, you don't just scream at them. You have to calmly talk to them and reach reason. Like, you can't just scream at them. Otherwise, you die.
What happens to Mother Superior?
Well, nothing. Because as he's about to go, strike at her with the axe. Good old Captain Richards, this idiot captain, shoots him in the back and kills him. But right before he dies, he goes to Billy's, goes to the kids and tells the kids, "You're safe now. Santa's gone," because he's basically become the embodiment of Santa. Now it's such a weird thing.
So now we have a whole bunch of kids that were traumatized by Santa Claus being shot down in front of them, and now we have a whole bunch of kids that were traumatized by a mass murdering
Santa
being shot down in front of them, and then them being told, "Don't worry, Santa Claus is dead now.
You're safe." But it's one of those. It's the weird thing about this movie. It's like he was traumatized. He internalized his trauma and then became his trauma. But then also, well,
you're getting all technical.
He did. But then the weird thing is, at the end, he even realized what he was doing was bad. But he was like, at least it's gone. Like, I became the trauma that I was terrified of, but now it's gone. So you guys are good. It's so weird. It's kind of weird. Like, it's a weird deep message that also is in a Santa Claus killing movie. Like, it's weird.
It is. And I see you eyeballing my Prince class.
Yeah. It's kind of hard with that jawline of his. It's kind of hard not to eye it.
Tanya, I had this awesome insulated Prince cup, drinking Tumblr, glass.
Whatever.
Yeah. Tumblr. That Martina from over at Purple Rain Candle Company got for me. This is spectacular. But yeah, so this is, I mean, we're pretty much at the end of the movie.
Oh, here.
I mean,
but wait, the final line is Ricky. By the way, I found it says 14 year old. He's a 14 year old.
14?
Yeah. So it says on Wikipedia. Okay. He looks up at Mother Superior and he says, "Naughty." which sets up perfectly for the sequel, which, by the way, does star my boy Ricky.
And we will hopefully be covering that next year.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Next year. So after we watched this movie a couple nights ago, I started looking up the sequels. And if look, I don't know if we're going to get to this. This will be years away now, because if we're going to do one every Christmas. But let me just tell you guys the synopsis of one of them. Damon, you give them.
What was it, part five?
I'm trying to figure out now.
I think it was part five that you were looking up. Now, before.
Okay, here. This is just the synopsis. Part three, by the way.
Oh, it's part three?
A scientist links a psychic blind girl to killer Ricky's brain mounted on top of his head.
That's an awesome movie.
I want to see it so bad. Like, just, by the way, it has an 11% of Rotten Tomatoes, so it can't be good. But
well, Rotten Tomatoes, obviously.
Yeah, I know. That's true. Rotten Tomatoes, it doesn't mean anything. But still, I really do want to see it, just how insane that sounds.
It does sound insane. Now, Kelvin, what are you drinking tonight?
I think the last few episodes, I've been drinking the same thing. It's been Voodoo Ranger Imperial IPA. I like it a lot.
Beer.
It goes down.
I miss beer. I've been trying to stay away from beer because I'm already fat enough. You know?
But, yeah, I will say it is giving me a bit of a belly.
I got a nice 90 proof Oaxacan green sour mash, first generation. 90 proof. And the tagline for my podcast is horror movies, prints, and shine. So drink it up if you got it. This movie, though, Kelvin, overall.
Again.
We're at the end of the movie.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Now, this is Silent Night, Deadly Night is one of those epitomal movies that when you think of Christmas horror, there's Black Christmas and there's Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. This is the only, like, I've never seen any other Christmas-themed horror film. So this is what comes to my brain when I think Christmas and horror. I think Santa going out, killing his coworkers and teenagers.
This is, I love this movie.
It is, yeah. It's a fun watch. And watching it again this time, I had, dude, that Father O'Brien bit that killed me. So he's deaf. It was so good.
He's deaf. Yeah. This is one of those movies that when I was younger, I know I watched this when I was way too young.
Yeah, I will say now that I think about it, there's one other like Christmas themed horror movie I can think of, Jack Frost.
Oh my god,
that terrible movie. Like, at least
I covered that last year.
This is better than that, for sure.
Yeah, this is from 1984. So by the time I was probably about 12 years old when I saw this. But yeah, it's a classic that if you like Christmas themed horror,
especially slasher, if you like a good slasher, it's pretty fun. Like it's
a fun ride. Now you need to overlook some faults in the movie.
You know what they need to do? And I mean, look, I'm gonna be honest. I'm not a reboot person. Most of the time, I say you don't do a reboot.
They have rebooted this.
Have they?
In 2012.
Oh, it couldn't have been good though.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure. It was called Silent Night. In 2012, I don't know that I've ever seen that. To tell you the truth, yeah, it was definitely.
I don't. Yeah, but this has I. This seems like to have no like identity with it. Like it doesn't have a kid being traumatized. Like it has nothing to do with that. You know what I mean?
No, but I've read in here in the.
It's just a guy who dresses like Santa killing people.
I'm gonna have to find it. I was reading here in the trivia. They mentioned something about it.
Because man, the idea isn't bad. The idea is not bad of a kid being traumatized by the idea of Santa Claus and becoming that trauma himself. It's solid.
Yep, yeah. And. It's a good storyline.
I'm telling you, man, could you think about it? They brought this back, and next year we get Thanksgiving 2 and Silent Night, Deadly Night, a reboot all in the same year. That'd be insane.
If it was done by Eli Roth.
But there's something saying.
Or Sam Raimi. Sam Raimi's too,
no,
too popular now.
Yeah, I think what you do is I think you get somebody who likes this. I think an Eli Roth could do it, but just get somebody who's a fan of this and wants to make a good slasher. I think you could do it.
Yeah, I think they could, and they could make it maybe make a little more sense.
I think they can make it make more sense, a little better kills, more violent kills.
Yeah, and
more Christmas themed kills. Like he didn't stab anybody with an icicle. He didn't, you know what I mean? Like he didn't do anything Christmassy.
Yeah, the whole Christmassy thing was it took place over Christmas, and he was dressed as Santa Claus.
Yeah, exactly. But I want Christmas kills, you know. Violent Night when he sucks on that candy cane and stabs somebody with it. I want that.
Oh my gosh,
that was great.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a really fun movie.
That is actually a movie that I might have. Well, I have to rewatch it again. LJ might want to check that out.
But, oh, well, you know what? I completely forgot about this movie existing. You remember Santa's Sleigh
with Bill Goldberg?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I was actually thinking about covering that this holiday season because I love that movie. It's awesome.
Yeah, I kind of remember it like vaguely. I remember there being a weird like demonic Santa and he comes from hell.
He was a very bad person that made a deal that for 1,000 years he would be the Santa Claus that we all know, but the 1,000 year day ended and he went out on his little killing spree.
Okay,
that's a movie for another episode, I guess.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure.
That's it.
Next year.
That is Silent Night, Deadly Night from 1984. Kelvin, mm-hmm. I gotta ask you, is this a movie that you will continue to watch in the future?
I mean, will it be it won't be like a I wouldn't say it's an annual thing, but I might when the Christmas comes around, I'm like, you know what, I want some kills. I want a little slasher to my holiday season. I'll probably throw it on.
Yeah, I love this movie. With all its flaws, even though I saw it way too young, that's probably why nostalgia.
Yeah.
I still love the movie. I watch it every year.
It's nothing perfect, but yeah, I have a fun time. Every time I watch, I have a fun time.
And, you know, I don't remember if I've ever seen the sequels.
Again, I am pretty sure we've seen two. Because for some reason, Ricky's face was who I was thinking the killer was. But then when we saw the first one, I was like, oh, that's not who I was thinking. And then I looked it up. I'm like, oh, I remember the guy from two, not from one.
Well, we'll have to watch part two.
Next year.
I'm telling you. And that's it. As we close this episode out, Kelvin. Do you have anybody out there that wants to find you? Where are they going to find you at?
I mean, The only thing I can think of is I have a Twitter. I have a Twitter.
You're on the tweets?
At Uncle Suppy.
Uncle Suppy.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
You're on Discord.
Yeah, but I mean, it's also at Uncle Suppy as well. But, like, I don't really do anything on there either.
All gaming stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Sasanari, who is also my son, does a YouTube.
I am on there sometimes. I do appear on his channel occasionally playing games with him. If you want to check me out on there, you can do that on YouTube.
Spectacular. You can find us here at Guess What You're Wrong on, well, actually, on the TikToks. I'm under Horror Shine.
Okay.
So you can find me on TikToks under Horror Shine. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I don't actually post too much on Twitter. And that's, yeah. I stick mostly to Facebook and Instagrams and TikTok nowadays, I think. Occasionally, I throw shit up on Twitter. It's just not.
Did you see him recently, Elon Musk? Basically, nobody wants to advertise on Twitter. And
he said, fuck you.
I was like, okay.
You know, I'm not a huge fan of his.
I'm not a fan of it.
Of his beliefs. Because he's a type of person. He believes in computers, your memories and everything. Your brain can be implanted in computers and all that.
He's one of those chips in your head.
And I know that there's a lot of people that have jumped onto Elon Musk bandwagon about this. My view is if you like something, just do it. If you like Twitter, use it. If you don't like Elon Musk, don't use it. I don't give a fuck, honestly.
Yeah.
Whatever Elon Musk does or doesn't do or believes and doesn't believe doesn't change my life at all.
No, not at all. I was just saying, it's just a dumb way to not get advertisers on your platform that needs advertisers.
Obviously, he doesn't need them. That's what I'm saying. All right. If he doesn't need them, he doesn't need them. I mean, isn't he still the richest man in the world?
No, definitely not. He's like five or six now. No.
He's still.
No, he's still super rich.
He can still make
the app run, but the issue is, what I'm seeing is the fact that it looks like he's trying to kill the app purposefully. But who knows?
No, if he does, he does.
Yeah, that's on him.
That's on him. It's his $1 billion he spent on it.
$4 billion, man. He spent $4 billion on an app.
His money. Let him do what he wants with it. If he wants to kill it, whatever. Anywho, that's it. That's the end of this episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Everybody out there, I want to thank you for hanging out with us and listening to us babble on about Silent Night, Deadly Night. Everybody, sweet dreams. Love, peace, and chicken grease.
Naughty, naughty, naughty.
Thanks for hanging out with Big D and me and listening to him while he dove into this cinematic masterpiece. Y'all have a happy holiday, and until next time, sleep well.
Later, Tater.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night, and God bless America.